It's good to be together. Enjoyed the praise from Hilltop and to see all your faces and what God is doing with all of us. I want to start out with a little bit of an announcement. The brethren from Colombia got a hold of the ministry here recently. As you might have heard, they just experienced a 7.4 earthquake down in the Cali, Colombia region. Many of the brethren, their homes were damaged really severely, some of them completely gone. So I just wanted to put that out to you. There is some financial need, and I know we're a great family that we spread all over the earth, and when one has a need, we all share in it. So if you feel the Spirit of God leading you to send something to help these brethren out, you can send it to Jonathan Mitchell, make it payable to IMA, and put a little note in there stating it's for the brethren in Colombia. That would be greatly appreciated. So thank you very much. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to go to John chapter 6. Started reading this, it really started seeing it differently than I had ever seen it, because anymore when I read the Gospels, I realize that I'm not just reading about historical Jesus. I'm reading about one who was the firstborn among many. And in many senses of the word, except for his dying a vicarious death for our atonement and for the propitiation of our sins, that much of what is in the Gospels is actually prophetic concerning the rest of the body of Christ, concerning the many sons that are coming to glory, and that Jesus, being the pattern son, that many of the things that you could see that he went through, that the Father took him through, being the way, the truth, and the life, are actually prophetic of where he's taking you and I. And as we continue to grow, as it says concerning him in Luke chapter 2, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and in favor with God and man, this, brethren, is also happening to the many sons that are coming forth as a result of his death and resurrection through faith in him, like what Brother Dan has said to us many times, as it says in St. John chapter 1, to as many as receive him, he gives the power to become. Something's happening inside of you and I right now. Whether we realize it or not, if you're continuing on with God, you're becoming. Something is happening on the inside of you, and there's a becoming, there's a growing up, there's a maturing, there's a forming of Christ in you. And the story to me in John chapter 6 is more prophetic, and I'm seeing it differently. And this is the first time I've shared this, so bear with me. And I think I want to start in verse 1 and read a bit. He said, "And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him." And there are multitudes that are following Jesus today. And, you know, God is interested in the multitudes. He's interested in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Because they saw the miracles which he did on them which were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And I think that there's times when God wants to take you and I to a high place, that he wants to show you and I the vision of what he's actually doing with us before we actually go, takes us back down into the valley where we're actually battered into the very image of the vision that we see on the mountain. And this morning, I think the Spirit of God would take us up on a mountain and begin to start showing us really what he's doing with us, and taking us past the mere understanding of just common salvation, of just being born again, of being saved from the fires of hell or what, however you see it, and to really see what it is, the purpose that Jesus Christ came and died and was resurrected, ascended, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Verse 5, "And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith to him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? And then Jesus' next statement is very telling. He said, make the men sit down. Okay, because right here in this statement, you can see that the purpose of God in meeting the hunger of the multitudes was not just with Jesus, but there was a younger lad. There was a lad there that had something to offer. And right now, I mean, you can see it even in the Old Testament with Joseph and Benjamin. The mystery of God is with two. Even with back when he said you would offer a lamb in the morning and you would offer a lamb at the evening, it was two lambs. And Christ is not one member, but many members. And this morning, I hope that you can see that Jesus is bringing forth a younger brother. There's a lad that's coming forth. And as soon as Jesus heard that this lad was on the scene and that this lad had bread to give and fish to give. And I don't know if you realize it or not, because sometimes, brothers and sisters, and I try not to get too preachy here, but this, I feel this very strongly this morning. Sometimes we are so enveloped with our own need that we become navel gazers. We're so introspective with all of our own problems, and we act as though the lamb has not been slain, and we act as though when he says that, and ye are complete in him, that that's some futuristic thing. But I want you to know today that the only place that you're complete is in Christ. And in order to see yourself complete, you need to keep looking in the right mirror. Make sure that you're looking into the perfect law of liberty and seeing the provision that's been made, and not expecting that there's that the offering that the Father made was somehow incomplete in its ability, anemic in its ability to completely bring you forth into all that the Father has intended for you. And so I believe that there's a lad that's on the scene and he's got something to offer. And I think I'm looking at faces that are part of that lad this morning as I look at the little boxes on the screen, because Christ is not one member. He's many members. And Jesus came and he died. His purpose was to bring forth many sons. The purpose of God is more than just Jesus. It's Jesus and those that would come forth as a result of him falling into the ground and dying. And this morning, you and I, the world, well, the multitude, I mean, I'm sure God would have met the need some other way, but you can see in this prophetic story of how God is going to meet the multitudes, how God is going to meet the hunger that is down inside of creation today, is that there's a lad coming forth and he's going to take what's been formed in him, what he has, and he's going to put it in the hands of the older brother, the Lord Jesus. And what happens is that the next thing is that there's a blessing, and then there's a breaking, and then there's a passing out to the multitudes. And so now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. You know, God is so good, isn't he? How hungry are you? You know, you can have as much as you want. How much of God do you want today? You can have all that you want, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments, you know, of this bread. Gather up the fragments, and therefore they gathered them to that remained, that nothing be lost. I mean, there's just a lot in this today. I wish I could go into all that I'm seeing, but I don't know that I've got words to describe it. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. You know, God's government that he's gathering together, the 12 being the, as we know, numerology, is the number of government that he is getting from people that are broken, people that have been fragmented, people that are being gathered together. And I think today, brothers and sisters, that God is gathering together the fragments. There are many that started out in this move and from different dealings and different breakings were scattered and fragmented. But I can tell you in the hour that we're living in today, God is gathering the fragments together. He's not that nothing be lost. We think that people that left the move or they went here, they went there, or whatever we call the move. And I've been saying this because I don't like that term, the move. I'm sorry. Because this is not about a move. I'm thankful. I'm a beneficiary of the move. But it's got to go beyond a move. It's got to go on into the eternal purpose of God. Moves are not eternal, but God's purpose is. And his purpose is to have many sons that have been conformed to the image of the firstborn, that are just like him, and that as he is, so are they also in this present world. And letting yourself be identified, getting your identity from what God says about you, not from what the world says about you, not from the problems that you see in your natural man, but realizing there's more to you than meets the eye, that you carry the incorruptible life of God inside of your spirit, and let that define who you are, and continue to turn your face to him. It says concerning the Thessalonians that they turned to God from idols. I don't know about you, I've had many idols. But you know what I'm doing, that when these idols try to come back into my life, and take over, because they're like familiar with me. They're familiar with my natural man. Do you know what I'm talking about? Shake your head if you do. Am I the only one that has any idols? Okay, I'll be the guy. That's okay, but you know what I'm doing? I'm turning to God and finding help from the pull and from the power of those things that have been idols. What is an idol? Something that has your affection more than God is an idol. And you know what? Today, you can break the gravitational pull of that idol by turning to your Father, turning your face to your Father, because the drawing power, the magnetism of your God, when you think about him this morning, how great he is, just in the natural creation. I've been studying anatomy here a little bit in a course that I'm taking. And when I see how the body interacts with itself and how perfectly, even beyond this, the synchronization of a Rolex watch, how everything has to click and happen just in perfect synchronization, to believe that this happened by without, intelligent design, that there was a genius mind of intelligence behind it all. Just in the natural creation, let alone the spirit. And when you stop and think and ruminate upon the reach of omnipotence and how great he is, and he says, "Behold, I am the Lord, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And if you'd stop and if I would stop and ruminate on how great is our God, and then think about your problem. And realize how puny and how small in light of the reach and the purview of omnipotence that problem is, that there's nothing about you that God can't or hasn't already fixed in Christ. You're not going to ever make the old man better. He's not making Adam better. He's replacing Adam with Christ. And the way that he's allowing you and I to participate in that making better is he takes us and places us in Christ. And he says, "Now abide in him, because it's in him that you're complete. It's in him that you're circumcised with a circumcision that hands have nothing to do with, that human instrumentality cannot do." This is something that God is doing in your life today. The Spirit of God is doing a circumcising work of turning your heart and cutting away and turning your affections, of writing his law in your heart and in your mind. You have laws written in you, in your DNA. There's actually a code in your DNA that determines everything about you. It determines your hair color, your eye color. It determines whether you can sing or not. It determines that you're a good guitar player, brother. It's in your DNA, but there's something in your DNA. There's a code, there's a written law in the new DNA that you have from being born from above. And that DNA is the nature of your father. And that as he is, so are you also. You are his offspring. And if as you continue to grow, you will bear the image of your father. As Genesis 1 said, that everything brought forth after its kind. And when he got down to verse 26, he says, let us make man after our kind, in our image, after our likeness, after our kind. You are his kind. And what is he? He's everything beautiful, he's everything lovely. He is kind. He is long-suffering. He is love. And it says over in the Song of Songs to awake not love till he please. You know, I'm getting a feeling. I'm getting a sense in my spirit that it's the Father's good pleasure to wake up love. I think love is being awoken in a people. And we're turning. God is helping us to get over ourselves. Get over yourself. With the help of the Spirit of God, get your focus off of you. It's not about you. It's about the Father's love for the world. And he's raising up a corporate Christ, many members. There's a little lad on the scene, and he's got something to give. I want to jump down, I think, to verse 25. You know, they wanted to make him a king and everything else, and Jesus sent the disciples out of across the Sea of Galilee, and you know the story. I don't want to belabor it. He went walking to them on the water, and then he got in the boat, and they were on the other side. And then in verse 25, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, you're not seeking me because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perishes. He goes on into, I really want you to understand the object lesson that I put forth in providing natural bread for you. It was not about natural. It was never about fulfilling your natural appetite. It was about meeting a need that you had for for a different kind of bread. And so he says, don't labor for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And you know something? He has included you in that, Son of Man. You are part of that. That is prophetic. This statement does not just speak of Jesus, but it speaks of Jesus and his body. It speaks of the entire Christ, of a people that have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, a people that the Father has sealed. You know, why do you think you're still here with all the things that you've gone through, the ups and the downs and the failures and the victories and the illnesses and the diseases and the things that you pass through? Because there is a seal upon you. You've been kept by the power of God through faith, through reliance upon him. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be standing in front of you. I have been kept. It says over in Psalm 66, he holdeth my soul in life. There's something holding me. There's something holding you today. The Spirit of God, the grip of God. Somebody said, well, hold on to his hand. But you know something? I got to be honest with you. There have been times I've let go of his hand, and I found that there's something holding me. It's not just dependent upon your ability or your strength to hold on, but it's based on you being held by a hand that no man can pluck you out of. You can't be plucked out. Love, there's something about love. When it starts a work in your life, when he that is love begins to work, love never fails. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, says in Isaiah, till he set judgment in the earth. Judgment in my earth, in your earth, bringing forth the life of himself. He's not discouraged. Don't you be. Don't be discouraged. So many times he says throughout Isaiah, don't be afraid, Jacob. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. As the prophecy said, I'm not going anywhere. I've committed myself to you. My faithfulness, I swore by an oath, once I sign on to your life in covenant, I don't ever let you go. I'm not going to stop. He will not fail nor be discouraged. God is not discouraged. He will not fail. He doesn't see your, I mean, you know, the things that we call giants. He calls nothing. They're nothing to him. And at any moment, sometimes he leaves things. He said, I won't deliver the land into your hand all at once, lest the beast of the field overtake you. God is doing something in your life, in his timing. And he's more interested in the character that he's forming in you through the empathy that he is bringing forth in you through you looking at yourself and seeing that I am nothing. I am not impressed with me. I'm starting to get impressed with him. I really am. I'm impressed with my father. This thing, one of the greatest provisions that's been made available to you and I through the cross. Jesus came to bring you to the Father. And I just hope that you're taking advantage of the access to you have to this wonderful God, to this being that's beyond human description, that will take eternity to search him out and that he set his affection on you. How awesome is that? And not only you, but the world, the whole world, all of creation. You know, we know that no man can come unless the Father draw them, right? But you know, we judge people out there in the world. We look at them and man, look at that. That's terrible. They're this or they're that or whatever, or even not just the world. Dare I say, we do that to each other. But God, he's like, they can't even come unless I draw them. You know what? But if I'm lifted up, how many am I going to draw? I'll draw all. Every man in his order. And right now, he's bringing forth some first. And you know, they seem to be the ones with, my God, I'm not going to tell you about all the problems I've had in my life. You probably wouldn't listen to me. But you know, he's going to bring people out of every walk of life, out of every trial, out of every bondage, out of every hang-up. And all of creation is going to be represented in this group that he brings out. And there's going to be an empathetic, compassionate priest that is able to have compassion on them that are out of the way, on them that have infirmity, because they themselves have been encompassed about with infirmity. God's making a priest. God is making bread. It's not about us anymore. He's doing something in your life. Christ When the seed of Abraham, it says, not as of seeds, but as of seed, which is Christ. The seed of Abraham is Christ, both head and members in particular. And they are called. The calling upon your life today, friends, is that in you, he's Abraham, and in your seed, Christ, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. I'm not asking God for blessings. He's waking up love. It's time for love to wake up and for you to be a blessing. It's time for you to be bread. Your time has come. Verse 28. And then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. This puts the faith works thing all into to bed for me, that you believe on him, that you, which literally means that you rely on, that you depend upon, that you lean on, as the prophecy said, on him whom he hath sent. And then the works of God, just like Jesus leaned on the Father. The Shulamite comes up out of the wilderness leaning on the arm, the only arm that can bring salvation, the arm of her beloved. And then they said to him, what sign that showest thou that we may see and believe thee? And what dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And again, remember, please hear me. Today, this is talking, yes, it's talking about Jesus, but the fullness of this statement is talking about you as well, as the members in particular of Christ, because Christ is the bread of life. And if there's a title for this message, I would call it Christ, the bread of life. Jesus said to them, I'm telling you, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. There are a people that are seated with him in heavenly places. And you and I, as we walk with him day in and day out, and when we see ourselves get out, the grace of God is there for you to step back in the spirit and know no break in fellowship with him. As you walk in the heavenlies with Jesus, as Brother Sam's song stated. But when you go out into the world, into your particular occupation, or whatever it is that you're about in your everyday life, you're coming down from heaven. And the purpose of it is to be a blessing and to give life to the world. I'm starting to see this different. Something's happening inside of me, and I'm starting to care about people that, even people that I don't have a natural affinity. That's what Oswald calls it, a natural like for. Some people that naturally I would not like, I guess I could say it that plain. I have a care. There's something deeper than somebody says, well, I don't even like that person. I don't, you know, they're natural man and my natural. Well, this ain't natural. There's something in you that's not natural. The natural does not receive the things that are spiritual. But there's the first man was natural. He was of the earth, earthy. He was a living soul. You've had another birth. The second man, the last man, is a quickening spirit. And yes, he has a soul, and he lives in a human tent. But primarily, his identifying characteristics is a quickening spirit, not a living soul. The dominant part of you now in the new man is your spirit. And here's the cool thing. Maybe everybody doesn't agree with me on this, and that's okay. Because you know, I got to tell you a secret. My wife and I, we love each other. We're in a committed relationship, but don't tell her this, that I said this, but we don't agree on everything. And I'm seeing all the married people saying, you know, yeah. We don't always agree, but you know what? We still walk together. And we don't have to agree on everything, but I'm going to tell you something. Brother Dan, you said this, I think, at the last convention. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You can't delineate between your spirit and his spirit joined to the Lord. Your spirit is where the Holy Spirit takes up residence. And you're joined to the Lord and you are one spirit. Father, I pray that they be one in the same manner, the same fashion that you and I are one. Do you realize what God is doing with you? Do you realize the power of his passion and affection towards you is to make you so one with himself in every aspect and attribute, in every way that he is, that you would be one with him in that. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have also seen me and believe not. For all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh I'll never cast out. I will in no wise cast out. Have you come to him today? Well, you wouldn't be here if you hadn't. You can take this to the bank, friends. You'll never be alone. You'll never be alone. I'll never leave you alone. Never. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth, believeth tends to give you that mental assent to a particular group of doctrines, but that's not really what's being said here. He that seeth the Son and relies on him, like the vine relies, the branch relies on the vine for its life, for its ability to bear fruit, have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews had a problem with the fact that he was saying that I am the bread which came down from heaven. And people are going to have, Brother Sam got in a lot of trouble when he stood and said, I am the light of the world. But Jesus said that about you. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And I'm going to take it a step further and say, you are the bread of life. You are the bread. You're the lad. The multitude's been waiting to show up. And when Jesus heard that the lad was here and that he had the bread and that he had the fish, he said, sit down. Make them sit down. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, I'm telling you, I'm just going to speak it plain, folks. He that relies on me has everlasting life. And John says, I'm writing these things to you that you might know that you have eternal life. You have it. It's in your spirit. It's not a length of days. It is a quality. It is a kind of life. It is God life. Knowing this, he says, don't be clothed with costly garments or jewelry and all this stuff, but the hidden man of the heart, which is incorruptible. You're not waiting for incorruptibility. You carry it in your spirit. It's in you right now, in your spirit, and it's working its way out into your soul with every test and every trial and the things that God is taking you through to where your soul becomes completely joined to the Lord and loses the soulish nature and becomes spiritual. becomes transformed. And your body, which is neutral, ends up being changed by that union into incorruptibility as well. Salvation gets worked out from the spirit all the way out to your outer court. He said, I'm going to tell you, your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And if you took a second to go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, you would see that he says concerning you, you are flesh of his flesh. You are bone of his bone. It's talking just as much about you as it is about our older brother. And of course, the Jews had a problem with that. Something's happening. The word transition is starting to become common. The word shift, there is a huge, a tremendous shift in emphasis. There is a tremendous shift. Something's happening. I'm finding it happening in my heart. I'm seeing it happening in others as well. The fivefold ministry that, and you've seen it, that men can be gifted. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily possess what it is that's coming out of them. And they can move by virtue of a spiritual gift and speak things that can feed people. But I want to tell you something, that there's a shift with sonship is taking over gifting. Sons are growing up. There's a lad on the scene. And what's happening is, instead of ministering out of a gift, they become the very sacrament of what they're ministering. They become the very bread. Something to as many as receive him, he gives the power to become. And you, my friends, are becoming bread, moving out of gifting. Thank God for the gifting. I'm not putting it down in any way, but what I'm saying, there's something beyond the gifting, and it's becoming, it's being made the bread. If you took the time, you say, well, you're taking away from Jesus. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Jesus. He's giving it. You can't take anything away from him. But I will tell you this, that over in John chapter 12, when there were certain Greeks that came to Philip, or to Andrew, and Andrew to Philip, saying, we want to see Jesus, that Jesus' answer was so telling. He said, I want to tell you something. I am an individual grain. And unless I fall into the ground and die, I'm going to abide alone. You don't make bread out of a single grain. It is the gathering of grains together that God is doing. And out of the harvest, he said, but if it fall into the ground and die, it will bring forth many grains. It will bring forth much fruit. And what God is doing from the seed that fell into the ground and died, I'm looking at the harvest on the, in the little squares and the people all over this earth that have received him. And because the Father's about to bake some really good bread, the bread of heaven, which is he that cometh down from heaven, which is he that giveth life to the world, Christ, the bread of life. Oh, and all the things that you're going through. The first, you gather these grains together, and you can go into all the types and shadows in the book of Ruth, and the threshing floor, and where the chaff is separated from the grain, and God is, and I see that having happened. I look around this flow of the Spirit, and I see in different places much of the scaffolding that was external order, chaffed, if you will. The threshing floor, all the stuff that really there's no life in, being separated from the actual grain that gives life. things that God is not concerned about, things that we held over each other's head, called it order. I mean, somebody said something the other day about covering, and please don't misunderstand me. I believe in the true nature of covering, but really it was a term that men used to rule over other men. But there is a thing, I like to replace that term with accountability. I need to be accountable, the members one of another, that none of them move out unilaterally. The living creature over in the book of Ezekiel had the wings, and with twain it did fly, and with twain it did cover the body. I mean, there's this living creature, Christ, has accountability, met one member to the other member. I need you, from the least member to the greatest member. I mean, there are people, you say, well, he's a minister, he's a traveler, he's a this or that's a I don't see, you're not supposed to say words like that. That's not That's a bunch of malarkey. We need one another. And some of the members in the body, you know, it's not the seen members that are the most necessary. Those of you that are having physical battles and things, you find out that some of the members that your body's depending upon that are called vital organs, you never have seen unless you saw it on a screen somewhere. And some of the members of the body that they don't preach, they're just walking with God. They're vital. They're vital to the life of the body. Vital organs. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this, do not let either Satan or your carnal mind interpret your trial, because God's threshing. And you know what else he's doing? He's grinding. And even though you will always be a member in particular, the individuality is being lost, as what I am in Christ and what you are in Christ are being blended together. You know, God is making a loaf. He's putting together a loaf. We being one body, one bread, one loaf. And he's going to hand it out. People that have been through stuff, people that have been brought out of stuff for the nourishment of the world. Hallelujah. Oh, I like Isaiah 28:28. I'll just go there real quick. Whatever it is you're going through, just know this. Bread corn is bruised, but he won't be ever threshing it. He's not going to thresh it forever. No. The threshing stops. The grinding stops. And then the oven. Vicky was talking about the fire a while ago, you know, and think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is sent to try you as though something strange is happening to you. No. It's, you're not, God's not punishing you. He's baking bread. I'm starting to get the scent of the aroma. There's nothing like the smell of freshly baked bread. And I can say it now with conviction in Christ, along with my other members of my body that are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I am the bread of life. By virtue of my union with him, and by virtue of my union with you. Second Corinthians chapter 1, very familiar.
I like verse 3. I love it how Paul he's blessing God. Do you bless him? I mean, we read this as a phrase, but this is a heartfelt adoration to this being that we call God. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father too, by the way. He's the Father of mercies. And what about his mercies? I mean, there's a whole chapter in Psalms that tells us this. Somebody says, "Well, I think I've tipped the scales. I think I went beyond mercy's reach." Friends, let me just tell you something. His mercy endureth forever. And in that psalm, he says it over and over and over again. His mercy endureth forever. He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. Why? Just so that you can be comforted? No. Yeah, he wants you to be comforted, but that's not the end of it, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. He brings you through it first so that you can be a comfort. The things that you're going through are so that you can be bread and nourishment in the lives of other people. To them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, anybody afflicted? Well, you know, there is a particular Christian, I say that loosely because Jesus really didn't come to start a new religion called Christianity. There is a Christian school of thought that says if you're going through any suffering or any afflictions, then your faith is faulty. Well, I got news for you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Actually, he actually chooses you in the furnace of affliction, where bread is baked, the furnace of affliction. And he pulls out that, if you can just let your mind imagine the smell of freshly baked bread coming out of the furnace, coming out of the oven, as he pulls you, takes you out of your golden brown, and he cuts it open, begins to break it, and to pass it out to all the hungry, as much as they would. That's what you're for. It's not about you getting a blessing. It's about you being a blessing. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual as you endure the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it's for you and for your salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, you will be partakers also of the consolation. He says, look, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure. You know, when you're kneading that flour, man, it's just, that's just sometimes, I've never made bread. My friend David DeGloria makes a mean loaf of sourdough bread. And they knead it and they do all roll it and they, you know, throw it down, slap it down on the counter. I mean, you ever felt like you've been thrown down on the counter? Boy, I have. Slap. And then the roller going over you. I mean, this is the process of being made into bread. Insomuch that we despaired and we were pressed out of measure above strength. Somebody said, well, God's not going to put any more on you and you can stand. It doesn't say that. He just says that he will not tempt you above that which you are able to, but he will put more on you than you can stand because it's got to be beyond your strength. This thing is beyond you. This is going to take God. This is a God-sized project. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. And Vicky said this very thing at the opening, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? Because you can't trust you. Have you noticed that? Gosh, I've let myself down so many times. So have you. So get over it. So that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. And you know what? He's doing it right now. He does deliver us. And in whom we trust, he will yet deliver. There are deliverances appointed for you that are still haven't been realized yet. There have been deliverances that have already happened in your life. There's stuff going on right now, and there's stuff to yet go on in the area of deliverance in our lives. He's going to do it. This is your God. This is the faithful one who does not break covenant, who swore by himself because he could swear by none greater, confirmed it with an oath. I will do it. And so I hope you see today, if you can just have the relief of turning your eyes away from what you perceive to be your shortcomings, your problems, and realize God's not fixing your old man, but there's something new inside of you. Something real, something vibrant, something living, something everlasting, something incorruptible. And all the storms, all the fire, all the threshing and the pressing, the heat, there's a smell of fresh bread in the air. Creation starting to lift their nose up and catch the whiff, the scent of the bread of heaven. For Christ is the bread of life. My last scripture in John chapter 20, verse 21. Then Jesus said to them, and I think he says to you and to me today, peace. Brothers and sisters, peace be unto you. Peace. Shelley, peace. Vicky, peace. Anyone that's in affliction today, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Amen. God bless you.